now have over 200 million views. And we did that by serving the audience and figuring out what the audience wanted, and also not lying to them, which is what the regular media does, the old media does, all the time. Not to offend our hosts here, but I'll confine my comments to the American media, which I'm very familiar with. So, now, let's talk about that, and then I'll come back to our story and I'll show you a fun controversial video we did. Old media is in a lot of trouble. And now, some of the presentations here are not wrong, it's just a question of what's going to survive and what's not going to survive. Don't worry, I'll get to what's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. What's wrong? Right. So, for example, are newspapers in America going to survive? Hell no. No way. Okay. Now, what I mean by that is not that the New York Times is going to go out of business tomorrow, or maybe even in 12 months, as Michael Wolff said on an earlier panel, but the fundamental structure as it exists of newspapers in America is not workable. I believe I had my slides back in the hotel, so I'm now pre-digital. These are my notes. It's rather ironic. But I believe in about 1933, newspapers had 50% of the advertising revenue in the country, in America. Then it's kept slipping, and then the internet comes and it jumps off a cliff. Last year it was 15% of all ad revenue. Next year it's going to be 10% of all ad revenue. It shouldn't be anywhere near 10%. As they would say here in Britain, that's mental. who reads the newspapers? I mean, here in Britain you might, and I'm not just saying that to be polite to the host. I picked up a couple of papers while I was here, and it was interesting. You know, you had a story of a woman who got arrested for kissing a man in public, just on the cheek, in Dubai, right? Or United Arab Emirates, somewhere. I said, okay, well, that's an interesting story. I kind of want, and she looked kind of good. And they had a picture. And I said, okay, let me check this out. In America, they don't even try. I mean, have you picked up a U.S. newspaper? It's deathly dull. They don't think that they have to serve the audience. The audience wants interesting news. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be silly news. We do a lot of really heavy content on the Young Turks. And so, but it does have to be interesting. So, and look, they lost the classifieds, which was an enormous source of revenue. They, you know, advertising, who's flipping through the paper and say, oh, Macy's has got a sale. I mean, maybe a 78-year-old grandma in Miami, but that's about it. Their share of the advertising revenue should be minuscule. Nowhere near 10 or 15% of the whole pot. And on the other hand, I talked to my nephews, one of them is in college, one of the other ones in high school. What do they watch? All they watch is YouTube. That's all they watch. That's newspapers. I'm not sure they know what newspapers are. Okay, so should the digital portion of the digital pie for ad revenue be higher? Of course it should. And then will the CPMs get higher, thereby making us stronger? Of course they will. Right now on YouTube, you know, on many panels they ask, is anybody making money? Well, I know who's making money, us, okay? We're one of the top YouTube partners and we share revenue and then we have a subscription model too. So I remember doing these conferences a couple of years ago and everybody's like, God, gee willikers, how do we make money? And I kept saying, look, it's a hybrid, and they kept debating, is it behind a paid wall, not behind a paid wall? You said, look, you give people, we've been doing it for years, you give people free content if they want to watch it, you know, a little ad here and there, and they go, okay, the guy gave me a 3-hour talk show every day. He gives, you know, shows me a 15-second ad, I can live with it, right? If they want the whole thing and they want convenience and they love your show and they want to support your show, then you say, all right, then subscribe to my website for $10 a month. I'll give you the podcast. I'll give you a special members-only post-game, which, because we're mental, we do another half an hour. So if you take out the commercials, we're giving them a gigantic amount of content. So as little as you want, as much as you want, and you know, if you want a little, we charge you a little. If you want a lot, we charge you a lot. Not a lot, $10 a month. So there is a way to do this, and we figured it out, and we make money off of it. But think about this. YouTube right now, our CPM, for those unfamiliar, cost per thousand, in other words, what we get per thousand views, averages about $2.50. Okay, so for every 1,000 views, we get $2.50. That's our portion of it. Remember, we're splitting it with YouTube, etc., right? So a lot of shows now that have a better sales team and have been doing this for a long time, et cetera, can get, do get $50 CPMs, okay? So if I get a $50 CPM for what I currently do instead of $2.50, I'm going to destroy the old media, okay? And we're already in the middle of it. Look, think about costs. I was at a meeting at MSNBC, and we had done a campaign to get me to host their 10 o'clock time slot, so it was very successful. Our viewers are awesome. We call them the TYT Army, and you know, you were talking about fans that are dedicated, making a big impact. We will never lose an online poll. We can do an online poll against Jesus and we will win, okay? Because our listeners are fantastic. And they're not just our listeners, they are the Young Turks. Like, that's what a lot of the old media, they try, but it's not, as they say, it's not in their DNA, right? They're used to presenting, they're used to, I am the authority, you will listen to me and you will believe it. And especially in America, where they're lying, no one believes it anymore. Whereas we say, look, if I get something wrong, you better tell me right away. Email me, send it through Twitter, etc., and I will correct it by the next break. Because I don't have an interest in lying to you. I have an interest in telling you the truth, giving you the best information I can to serve you. So I'm at it, but I got called in. This is successful, and I'm going to meet with the president of MSNBC, and I'm waiting. And they've just got this gigantic conference room at NBC at 30 Rock, 30 Rockefeller Plaza. And I thought, my God, they're paying more rent for that conference room, which they never ever use. I'm sorry, at the time, they had a birthday party for an intern where three people attended. That's what they were using their conference room for. They pay more for that conference room, I am positive, than our entire budget for the year. Okay? How are they going to compete with me? They're not. Okay? We're going to sink them. Now, and we're coming. Now, the question is, what parts are going to go?
Your content isn't as good as NBC.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
Yeah, try me.
Oh, yeah, take it off. Right. Yeah.
Now, here's why NBC's content is nowhere near as good as mine. Okay. And let's figure out how. Okay. So if you're talking about a major media event, they do that better. Of course they do. I'm trying to give you the truth, right? And you'll correct me if I'm wrong. So I can't do Lost. You know, Lost is on ABC. It's a giant show. They've got a giant budget. And they do it well, and I watch it every week, right? So I'm not going to compete with that. And American Idol will do fantastic. And there will be mass. I think there will be more mass shows in the future.
You say you've got a lovely niche, and you fill it beautifully.
Yes, but it's bigger than a niche. And so let me tell you the part that NBC's bad at. The evening news, hideous, okay? First, I gotta get home by 6:30 or 7 o'clock to watch the evening news. No one. My dad used to, and he's like, why would I do that? I already saw it online. I mean, I already read it online, I already saw it online. Why? Because I trust Brian Williams to give me the news? And I like Brian Williams, he's a great guy, we interviewed him on the show, he's funny, etc. It's not about him. Now, how do they like you, and why is our product better? Because it's all driven by corporate America. So, for example, Archer Daniel Midland puts several million dollars into a Sunday talk show where they discuss politics, etc., on ABC. It's called This Week. Now, why? They don't sell anything to the public. So what do they advertise? They're not advertising. They're holding that over that program's head. And they're saying, if you dare to do a story on Archer Daniels Midland, you will lose several million dollars. Okay, so you better obey. You better bow your head. And don't you dare do a story on that. That's a part of how they control the media. They have on military analysts on NBC whose job is to, they work for defense contractors, whose job is to sell you war. Barry McCaffrey, former general, supposed to be an expert, comes on, says in the middle of the Iraq war, thank God for the Abrams tank and the Bradley fighting vehicle. Now, can you guess what his company produces? The Abrams tank and the Bradley fighting vehicle.
Jack, I'm going to give you 30 more seconds because I want to put some of your points to the rest of the panel. We haven't got much time.
So
he's come a long way.
So the more they lie to their audience, the more they don't give them the actual truth. They whitewash it over with corporate media, etc. The more when people come to us, they go, "Oh, okay, I get it. The Senator Baucus from Montana is obviously bought by the health insurance companies because they just put $2 million into his campaign. NBC will never tell you that because they want to be polite, and it's all about access. They don't want to lose access to Senator Baucus, whereas we don't give a damn about access. We've had all of them on. We've had Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi.
I'm talking about the failings of American, particularly journalism. Can I just bring in here? We've got, possibly, we've seen the future. We've seen a massive attack, a spirited attack on what you might call the dinosaurs. And we've got three dinosaurs here. I'm from the BBC, obviously a dinosaur. Steve, another dinosaur. You're from, I mean, what could be more dinosaur-like than Northcliffe? What's your response to that?
So I think it's an interesting point. It's a lot of this has to do with perspective and audience age, right? So one of the most interesting things about the BBC and the study that we did when I was there was sort of, why aren't young people listening to BBC radio? And they did this study over, and actually it predates me, it was 10 years before they were looking at how BBC radio could engage more with the youth. And what they found out is, young people don't listen to the radio. And actually, as those young people got older, they still don't listen to the radio. So the average listener of Radio 2, which is one of my favorite radio stations, because I'm over 40, he's 35.
My son, who's just gone to university, I said to him, are you worried about Six Music? He said, what's that?
Nobody
here listens to the radio, they're all on Spotify.
My daughter was astonished about the radio. I just showed her the radio the other day because I realized that she would not know what the radio is. So what's interesting is, she didn't. She said, well, why would you have a device that you got to plug in and listen? Why would you use your iPhone? Perfectly rational question. So what's interesting, though, is coming back to it, is it is an age gap. And we get really excited about young people, but the average reader of the Daily Mail is 57 years old, and they aren't online. Or if they are online, it's very tentative at the library. So
yeah, but is he the view? I mean, this is a massive attack on everything we hold dear. Our professions. He's painted an outrageous parody of the fine work of professionals like us by some young Turk who's come up from nowhere.
Well,
I need to fight back.
Well actually, what he's done is he's made me very interested to watch the show.
Yeah.
Great. So he's absolutely marketed it very well. A lot of what he said, of course, was utter rubbish. our early evening news in Britain has a huge audience, millions of people. In fact, regional news in Britain, which ITV is trying to shed, actually shot up in its audience in January because there was a lot of snow. People actually did turn on the early evening news when they could have looked out the window to find out, to find out how much snow there was in the neighborhood. So
let's not forget what they're doing at the same time, right?
Exactly.
At the same time, they're on the iPhone and the
yeah.
Wii, and they're doing the same thing. So
but why does that make our business model dead? Why does that make
it doesn't?
Well, according to our friend here.
Well, okay. I think what it does is that we're living in an era where it's not a linear world, right? It's not going to go like this and get a little bit worse, a little bit better, right? It's a hockey stick, right? You reach a takeoff point and then boom, you're dead. It's not going to be a gradual delivery like you're seeing in newspapers. Yeah.
It's scarcity, right? So the fact is there used to be, a long time ago, there was one way to get the news, and that was the newspaper or the town crier before that. Now, I can get, as he said, I can get the news from any number of places. I could be sitting on this panel and reading the news on my BlackBerry. I can read, I can watch it on television. Linear television is no longer has a market monopoly on that hour of my life. And in fact, the idea of scheduled television in many ways, I think, the on-demand thing's interesting, right? Because scheduled television is, I think, the first thing to die. Because frankly,
it's been going on a lot longer than we expected.
If you
look at the latest figures in the UK, TV viewing, and that is mostly still scheduled viewing to the main channels, is still hugely popular.
So I put it to you, it's about age. Mm-hmm. And it really is about age. Look at young people. They don't care. My daughter has no interest in linear television because she can't pause it. She told me the television was broken the other day because she was pushing a button on the pause button. And she didn't understand why she couldn't pause it. It's a perfectly rational question.
Can I address that in two ways?
Can I just push to slightly moving on? Because I thought one of the interesting points you made was actually about journalism. You were defending your product against the old media on good old-fashioned journalistic realms, that you were better, more professional, and more honest in your journalism. Austin, you want to say?
Well, I just want to make a few quick points. The first is, I think that young people still do listen to radio. They still do download TV. They're just BitTorrenting it because big media companies don't make it available in a format that's, you know, convenient to the way they live their lives. They don't want to have to come home, look at their calculator watch, and realize that, you know, at 6:30 I have to tune into something. The second thing is, I think a lot of the big media companies here, you know, they're starting to dip their toes into podcasting. I can download the Nightly News with Brian Williams, but, you know, why would I really subscribe to that on iTunes? The third thing, and not to offend anyone, you can't sell an asteroid to a dinosaur.